So this week's parsha starts with the story of the spies. The Rishami, by the way, learns that there were 24 spies. Pashas, we learned there's 12, because the Torah only lists 12 names. But the Rishami says it's 24. And we're going to say something from the Zera Emes, which we normally don't do, because we don't want someone in the back saying that I double up on the stuff. But it goes like this. After the Torah names the names of the spies, it then says, before the mission is sent out, it then says that Moshe Rabbeinu did a switch right before he sent everyone out, and he changed Yeshua's name. Well, wasn't it Yeshua yet? He changed Hosea's name to Yeshua. And then Rashi says, that doesn't say why it was changed, but Rashi says that the new phrase means you should daven, Hashem should daven for you, Hashem should save you. Here it says, yeah, Hashem save you. And that's why Yeshua got the special, the yud in front of it, called Yashiach, said if Hashem should save you. The obvious question becomes, do a 12 spies? Why does only one person get a special prayer? What about everybody else? And I saw just now that Oscar actually quotes the question, why did Moses pray only for Joshua? Was it favoritism for his foremost disciple? Question mark. And they quote one answer that the Targum Yonason says on the side, when Moshe saw the humility of Yeshua, therefore he felt he had a single amount. Okay, no, there's more to that. We'll get to maybe. According to the Gerari, that's the Maral from Prague, he also has this kasha, he says the blessing was needed was that if Yeshua was to sin, it would be a reflection on Moshe Rabbeinu. Since he's his Talmud, so he's davening because you make me look bad. So all the other 11 spies, maybe, Kolev yet to figure out, listen, they do bad things, okay, but Yeshua does something bad, it'll reflect bad back on Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, he had a daven. Far from a display of vanity, that's what you'd assume, it means Moshe Rabbeinu is being selfish. Far from a display of vanity on Moshe's part, this was essential to his role as Hashem's prophet. For if the people were to lose faith in him, they might question the Torah itself. Azoy Zok Oskol. And then it says why Kolev might be different from the Chofetz Chaim. Okay. But again, the basic question, the obvious question is going to be, Vosep is the only daven for Yeshua and not for either Kolev or all 10 spies. So in the Zera Emes, we gave one approach. And there are many, many, many answers. Dozens of answers given of, again, why Hashem daven for Yeshua. So in this one, I say like this. Last week's Parsha they needed 72 people. They needed 70 judges. Hashem said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you need 70 people with you. But there is 12 tribes. So how are you going to do six? How are you going to get 12 tribes to get 70 people? Because 6 times 12 is 72. So what they did was, they brought 72 people in. They told everyone, bring every shavit, bring a potential 6 guys who you like. They all brought, now you got 72 people there. Can't have 72, we need 70. So they made some type of a girl, and 70 people moved up to the Sanhedrin, and 2 people got left out, Eldar and Medar. And then it says Eldar and Medar had Nevuah. Special Nevuah. They lost out on the Sanhedrin, they had Nevuah. What was the Nevuah they had? And it's written in the Pesukim a little bit, that Moshe Rabbeinu was not going to get to go to Eretz Yisrael, but Yeshua was going to be the leader and take the Jews into Eretz Yisrael. That was like, and right away Yeshua said, I don't want that. Yeshua said, Moshe Rabbeinu, they're doing Nevuah, get rid of them. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, no. So, some want to say like this. We discussed this in Megillas Esther, I'm pretty sure. That there's a concept in the old world that when a decree was made by the government or by the king, and the way to abolish the decree, one of the ways they would do it would, if the person who made the decree would pass away. If the person who made the decree would pass away, they took it as like an evil omen, and therefore they would write him a battle of the decree. That became a thing. So I saw 2 different svarim, similar. They want to say like this. They want to say that Moshe Rabbeinu felt that Yeshua had a more of a reason to bedavka mess up the mission. Bedavka mess up the mission. Why? Because he writes, the Gan Rava writes, that Yeshua would have done a suicide mission. He would have done a suicide mission because Yeshua knew that if he dies, then the decree is battle. So by getting himself killed, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have to die. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu will take the Jews in there to Israel. So Moshe Rabbeinu chapped that Yeshua had a preconceived notion to mess up this entire trip. So he told him, listen, I'm going to daven for you special. Don't fall into that trap of potentially wanting to mess up. It means everyone else might be coming in even. We don't know when the spies were good and bad. All the spies are coming forward. Maybe they'll say good, maybe they'll say bad, but Yeshua's going to daven want to mess up. He'll say bad, get a Kadosh Baruch Hu angry, and make, what happened to the spies? They all died right away. Yeshua's going to want to die right away. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, listen, I want to give you a tefillah. So the tefillah will just take away that yesod of wanting to kill yourself to make it an even playing field. In a similar oifen, we have from Rav Zulman Hamburger, that not that Yeshua wanted to kill himself and mevatel the kri, he wanted to stall the game. Which means, let's say the spies would have came back and said a good report, and the Jews would have said, we're going into Eretz Yisrael. This is year two. This is year two in the desert. The Jews got out of Mitzrayim on Pesach. Last week we spoke about Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is almost 12 months later, and the spies are being sent out about 7 weeks later. So the spies were sent out. If the spies would not have done a bad report, and they would have came back, the Jews would have gone into Eretz Yisrael right away. What would have had to happen? Moshe Rabbeinu would have had to die. Because the Nevuah was that Moshe Rabbeinu has to die for Yeshua to take over to lead Eretz Yisrael. So not necessarily a suicide mission, but I don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael right away. If we go into Eretz Yisrael right away, we lose Moshe Rabbeinu. So Yeshua will add on maybe what the morale is saying was this Talmud, always defender of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, listen, no. Don't worry about that. Let the prophecy be the prophecy. You have to go and be an honest person. I'm going to daven for you that you don't get messed up with Eitzes on how to mess things up. And therefore, I'm telling you right now, be normal. So according to this is one simple approach. Eldad and Medad had a Nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to die, Yeshua would take over. And we have two similar ways. Either Yeshua is going to go on a suicide mission, or he's just I'm going to delay things out. On a similar oifen, again, once you're using the Eldad and Medad approach, very simple. What happens when one guy, 72 people, go into the situation? Okay, and two come out, and they're less or more, they become prophets. And they say Yeshua's taken over. Okay, now Moshe Rabbeinu walks in and says, okay, we're choosing 12 people to become spies. What's the relationship between the 11 people and the one? Could be posh it simple. The spies were going to be jealous of Yeshua. They really didn't like the guy. They're like, oh, he's the next leader. Like, well, he's better than me. He's a young nar. Why is he better than me? So Moshe Rabbeinu felt that I have to down for Yeshua, not necessarily because Yeshua himself, because of the prophecy, will kill himself. Suicide mission. Or because of the prophecy, he'll want to stall out time. No. Because of the prophecy, Eldad and Medad, that gave the prophecy about Yeshua. He wasn't in a comfortable position. People didn't like him. In the old days, they called it fragging, right? When the general gave you an order to race to the front of the line in the wars. So what they would do is they would accidentally drop a grenade, and they did it in Vietnam for sure, other places as well. You don't want the guy who's sitting in the back saying, oh, you guys become cannon fodder. Nobody wants to be cannon fodder. So how you get rid of it? So the only way to get rid of it is you get rid of the guy on top who's making the order. So Moshe Rabbeinu felt that maybe because of Eldad and Medad, that'll be a problem. So that's already three answers. We had a fourth answer that's saying as a Talmud, he's going to look bad. Okay, now I want to go with the Talmud gong. So Eldad and Medad has three gongs. Talmud, we had one gong that says very good, that it looks bad. If my Talmud does something bad, it looks bad. And right away, Art School explains, it doesn't mean Moshe Rabbeinu cared about his own ego. It meant Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that if you look bad, I look bad. And if I look bad, we lose the Messiah of Klai Yisrael. But it could be different. Lamai said that the spies had a major plan here. They were going to come back and say bad things about Eretz Yisrael. And two people went forward and didn't go with this. Kalev and Yeshua. What happened with Kalev and Yeshua? When Kalev got up to speak, to praise the land, the spies came back and said something bad. Then Vayas Kalev. Kalev got up and he was going to speak bad about the land, they thought, and they went through with it. Why? Because they didn't have a problem. There are midrashim that say Yeshua got up first, and they shushed him. When Kalev got up, they let him speak. Why? Because the spies chapped this yisoid. When it says he was a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was Yeshua? Yeshua was a nar lo yomis mitoich ha'il. He never left Moshe Rabbeinu's side. So far, that the Midrashim and the Chumash really says it, that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim for 40 days to get the Torah. When he comes down, Yeshua is still sitting there. Yeshua never went back into the camp. Why didn't he go back into the camp? Because he didn't want to lose 2 seconds with Moshe Rabbeinu. What would happen? What would a normal person do, a regular person? A regular person would say, oh, you took it to the train station, and now you went to the train, you said you come back in a month, so for a month I'll go back into my house and eat pizza, right? But Yeshua didn't want to lose. He didn't know Moshe Rabbeinu, what time did you come back? I'm not taking a chance. I'm staying right here. That's why he had no idea about the eagle. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down, he said, what's going on?
At least 40 days.
Correct. Someone asked that. So they want to say that he, on the 1% chance something happens, he has to be there. And what's he losing? 2 seconds, 2 minutes, 10 minutes. If he comes back right away, he's not even taking a chance. But what does that mean? How do we look? How does the average person designing a plan? Eitzes Meraglim is the Lashon HaRashi. When you're designing a plan, what you need is, in Yiddish, a chetraka guy. Right? You need a chetraka guy. You need a guy who understands the situation. The spies looked at Yeshua like a nar lo yomis b'techel. You know what that means? He has no das. What does he know? He's sitting and learning 24 hours a day. He's capable of understanding a spies. He's capable of understanding what's chashuv, what's not chashuv. We can't trust this guy. He's not a trustworthy person. That means if we come back and we're going to have a whole plan on how to stay in America, how to stay in the desert for 40 years, what's he going to say? He's a tzmimis tega guy. He's the guy. He's not going to be good. He's going to reveal the plan in a second. So the spies are figuring, we can't take a chance with this guy. When it came to Kalev, what's the word Kalev? Kalev echad bepeh, echad belev, echad bepeh. Kalev had them fooled. They thought Kalev was with them the whole time. That's when Kalev got up to speak. The Torah says, Vayas Kalev. They all said, let's see what Kalev's got to say. But Yeshua, they're not letting him speak because they didn't trust him. So really the spies held on some level, Yeshua is dangerous. He's not a guy who can keep up the act. He can't do it. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when it says, I'm adding to the words, when it says he was a Talmud of Moshe, it doesn't mean only Barami Prague, that it means that as a Talmud, you're going to make me look bad. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, he said, no. The fact that you're a Talmud means that your whole life is a Talmud. A Talmud Chacham. Hadn't too many people look at Talmud Chacham. Don't ask them politics. Don't ask them about this. Why? Because they sit and learn the whole day. They don't know anything. But it's not true. It's not true, but that's what they were saying. So Moshe Rabbeinu held that because of that, the spies are going to put Yeshua in a bad situation. They're not going to trust Yeshua, and in order not to trust him, they might do something bad. According to this approach, when Rashi says, "Kol Yeshayacha," you should be saved from what? From the Eitzes, the Atzas Meraglim. Normally you learn the Atzas Meraglim meant the spies were going to say something bad about Eretz Yisrael, and you have to be saved. Don't say bad about Eretz Yisrael. That's how Pashto you learn. Don't say bad about Eretz Yisrael. According to what we're saying now, not saved from what the spies were going to say about Eretz Yisrael. You should be saved with the spies' plan, not about Eretz Yisrael, about you. That means Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Yeshua, I have to be careful. You are in danger right now. The spies are jealous, according to one pshat. The spies hold you're not trustworthy to go with the plan, according to another pshat. The spies are after you. So if the spies are after you, I'm saving you from the spies. Not from what the spies are going to say about Eretz Yisrael. Pashas, that's what you learn. The spies are Eretz Yisrael. According to these, it's not the pashas of what the spies say about Eretz Yisrael. It's what the spies will do to Yeshua himself. And again, it explains why Kalev might be different. Similar. Because he's his Talmud, Talmud could be understood as a student. Talmud could also potentially be understood as a successor. We learned in last week's Pasha, Eldar Amed that said what? Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to make it to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die in the Midbar. And who's going to succeed him? Yeshua. So Moshe Rabbeinu has had the problem like this. If I send the spies into the thing, it was not an easy situation. There were giants over there, right? We know in Eretz Yisrael there were giants. Nira kechagavim, the Jews looked like grasshoppers next to them. It wasn't necessarily the easiest road to go into. So people were going to accuse Moshe Rabbeinu. I know why you're sending Yeshua over there. You're sending Yeshua over there because you're hoping that someone, the spies, suicide mission, every cheshbon I just made is now was taken out and saying, no, the cheshbon is of Moshe Rabbeinu telling the klal, don't think I want to get rid of the guy. At times, when you want to get rid of the competition, well, you know what you do? What did Stalin always do? Stalin, every time something went wrong, he sent him to the front, the Eastern Front. What did Hitler and Mark Shemar do? Send him to the Eastern Front. Every time someone does something, it's the easiest thing, send him to the front, cannon fodder. So they held, Moshe Rabbeinu held, a mice had 12 spies have to be chosen. I'm going to choose Yeshua. Why? Because Yeshua is taka very chashev. But you know what the other one's going to say? The other one's going to accuse me of not thinking Yeshua is chashev, of trying to get rid of the competition, trying to get him to be killed in order to have null and void the decree. So I myself, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I myself going to Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm going to daven for him, barabim, to show. That's not what I'm planning on. It's not true. I want Yeshua to be successful. I'm looking forward to it. I'm a humble person also. So according to this approach is, again, the idea was that all based on him being a Talmud. Either a Talmud making Moshe Rabbeinu looks bad. Either a Talmud meaning he became, I'm going to use the word, a simpleton. A simpleton meant that we can't trust him. Or the Talmud meant that he's my competition, my future Talmud, my successor. I don't want my successor being unsuccessful. I'm going to dive him to be successful. Okay. That's already a few answers. I know that sometimes we get nervous when I give too many answers, but we're still doing more answers here. But that's all based on the elder who made that approach, that they knew Talmud and they knew he was going to be successor. There's another thing. Where do we see the Shem Hashem of Yud Kei? The Shem Hashem of Yud Kei, we also discussed in Esther many times. Ki Yad Al Kei's Ka, the name of Hashem Yud Kei, which is the name Hashem used here, Ki Yad Al Kei's Ka means when the war against Amalek. So I saw a pshat brought down, the Maskil David says it, and he says like this. His name was Hosea. And you know what happened with Hosea? Hosea went to the world. You have to know if this worked out timing-wise. Hosea was a man who worldwide took on Amalek. He took on Amalek. He was the general. Moshe is on top of the mountain doing heebie-jeebie stuff. But the world doesn't know what the heebie-jeebie stuff is. They know Yeshua was a general. Extremely successful general, I might add. You know what happens when you have an extremely successful general? You walk into any place in the local areas and there's a big picture on the wall. And it says wanted on the picture. And there it says, you know who's wanted? Hoshea's wanted. Hoshea's wanted. He's an amazing general. So as an amazing general, we got to be careful from this guy. In the war in World War II as well, there were for certain generals. Zhukov was on one side, right? There were other famous generals that they had, right? And they have to be careful of these people. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, listen, they're all out to get you. What they say is in World War II, when people were captured, American soldiers, depends when the Americans said it. It's a sad chapter in American history. There was a book written in the 1990s about it, that when American soldiers were captured, the Nazis were equal opportunists against all Jews. So what happened was, if the American soldiers were captured, they right away took their dog tags, and they saw, if the name is Silverstein, they were not treated well. They were taken to concentration camps, they were killed by German soldiers, who then at the end of World War II were saved by the American government. Very sad chapter in American history. And in the old days, everyone was real lishma about things. Everyone was real lishma. So what happened was, they made all these soldiers sign, what do you call it, DNCs, what do you call those things, where they sign that you're never going to say anything. Non-disclosures. NDAs. And it was like almost a forgotten chapter in history. And then about 1990s, I forgot when it was. I remember when I was younger. A Jewish soldier in Florida, he decided that he was going to be Megala. He held it was 50 years or something. Makes sense, from 46 to 96. Maybe, and then it took him a couple years to write it. I forgot his name. And he decided to write a book on it. And some of the people were angry at him. But he was Megala that the American soldiers who were taken by the Germans were not treated well. And it was a bad thing. So what do they do sometimes? A lot of times they told the soldiers, not always, at certain points, certain American people realized what was going on. Certain colonels and stuff and majors were telling their people, hide your dog tags. Hide the dog tags. The other way is to know if someone's a Jew, but hide the dog tags. So that meant Hoshea, Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to say, listen, Hoshea.
So why was it a bad reflection on America? Because the Jews were taken by the Germans.
Good question. They weren't warning the soldiers beforehand. And they never took nakama on these guys. The American government knew about German soldiers who killed American soldiers befrat because they were Jewish. And then to fight off the communists, they said, take him in. Mamish, the guy wrote a story in Italy. He was like a vicious guy who was vicious against all the things. It happens to be, I have a student of mine. His father passed away. He was in eighth grade then. I had both brothers. I thought of recently because I saw an article. And he, when I went to the shiva, his father was an old American soldier. He was a pilot or something with the Air Force. And he told me then, I didn't know anything about it. I was sitting in the house, what are you going to do? And he told me that you should know that Rommel, who was the head of the Air Force, of the Luftwaffe, of the German Air Force, that whenever soldiers went down, if he knew about it, they would capture American pilots. He made a macha, it were above the SS, and you treat all pilots equally. And he used to tell the local SS guys, I'm not a lover of Jews, but I know one thing. I want my pilots to be treated well. And and I can't bomb the skies. My pilots won't do it. This is what this guy told me, B'Shas Maisa. It was very interesting. He told me B'Shas Maisa. And then about 6 weeks ago, I saw an article about it, about how Gorin was very mocked on the soldiers, and he saved certain soldiers. The soldiers were being interviewed. And he said that they were only the Air Force pilots. That, I mean, this guy was writing. He was sent either to Auschwitz or Buchenwald, one of these places. Maybe Theresienstadt, I forgot where he says it. And he said, I was a Jewish guy. We were separated right away. And it happened to be mazel that Gorin was in the local area. And he came in and took me out of the concentration camp of only Yidden, which survival rate was what, a week and a half. And he brought me out to the regular POWs and saved me. And I saw the article. I sent it to my student. And he was all excited to show it to his grandfather. How we get back to reality here? We get back to reality here that it could be to say that his picture was all over the place. The name is Hoshea. So Moshe Rabbeinu was telling him, listen, Hoshea, change your name. Change your dog tags, an American phrase. You know why? Because if something happens, that's not much of it. I had confidence, Lamaisa, they're going to go in and be okay. But how much, you know, well, who knows, right? Your picture is all over the place. Let's change it. Anyone sees you, your driver's license says, you're sure. You're okay to go. So really, because of the war with Amalek, he became a famous general. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know what? When you're going out, change your name. Similar, I wanted to say, based on Amalek as well, since we're saying now that the name he added was a Yud, which became a Yud Hey, which became the name of Hashem, which was used by Kiyad Al Keska, could be a little differently. Maybe what HaKadosh Baruch, what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Yeshua was this: Yeshua, your name is Hoshea. You're about to head into a mission that Lamaisa, sadly to say, not everyone's on the same page. The spies have whatever ulterior motives, what they have, which we have to be careful from. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to publicly change your name. I'm going to remind everyone who you are. You know who you are? You're the general who beat up Amalek. Not only that, how did you beat up Amalek? Because Kiyat al Keska, you have that Yurke in your name now. And not as a thing for the Goyish world not to know who he is. As a hint to the spies, don't get so nervous. What were the spies came back? They came back to Chazak Bimenu. They're too big, these guys. They're too strong for us. Us, in parentheses. In not parentheses, in quotations. So Moshe was saying, no, listen, spies, don't worry about it. I'm going to send in with you one of the great generals of all time. Not only one of the great generals of all time, I'm telling you that he has the special name of Hashem. You are fully protected. You have no excuse to come back and be nervous. Do not worry about it. So he gave the name Yud-Kei to Yeshua to give the Gvura to the people. So again, both are connected to Amalek. One is connected to Amalek. He's afraid of the other people, what they're going to say, change your name. And one is on himself saying, listen, have some Gvura. Don't be concerned. You're okay to go. Another one. Another one is, how does that, with Yeshua, hold on. I think what I was saying. I had another one with Yeshua that was going to be this way. Okay. Anyway, another one was going to be like this. That the spies themselves, before we were saying until now, that the, most of the spies were bad, and Yeshua had a reason maybe that he would be give her a bad report. I have the other way. That the spies might have been good, but they held Yeshua is going to want to give the bad report, like we said last time. What did we say last time? Yeshua wants to give a bad report to delay the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Yeshua is going to give a bad report. And this, at this point, the spies were not mala mention. And the spies held the opposite of what we said before. That Yeshua, by giving a negative report, is the right of. He's worse than all of us. We all want to give a positive report. But he's going to give a negative report. Why is he going to give a negative report? Because he wants to delay Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, listen, you have to be safe from the spies. They're out to get you. But were the spies good or bad? That's not true. The spies are bad. The spies weren't good. They should have been happy, Yeshua. So I'll tell you, I heard from a simple Wasserman. I think I might have said it by Shal Shudas. It could be that the spies themselves were unaware what their real thoughts were. Basic psychology, self-awareness. They did not have the self-awareness. That means the spies held were going lishma, we're going to do good things. Unbeknownst inside of them, they're going to do bad. And they looked at Yeshua, you're going to do bad. Why are you going to do bad, Yeshua? Because you want to have what he called, you want to stall things out. Or, lehepach, by the way. Or we're going to say things to stall out and you're going to want to take over the leadership. Yeshua has two options going for him. He can either be the next leader of Klal Yisrael, come back and say great stuff. We want to say bad, you want to say good. Or we want to say good and you want to say bad. Either way, the spies held that Yeshua was no good. Reb Simcha had the story in the 1960s in California that he went to buy a used car. And he came into the store to buy the used car. And he came with his Talmud and he tells the Talmud, tell the guy, this car looks good, amount of money, it's all good, used car. Let me drive it around the block. Test drive. This is 1960. It wasn't a famous thing then. Test drive. And the guy tells him, the guy, the owner of the car place, says, okay, what are you going to give me as collateral? So he said, well, what do you mean? He says, you're going to walk off the lot with my car. I'll never see you again. So Reb Simcha turned to the student who wrote over the story. And he said, we're not buying a car from this guy. So he starts walking away. And the owner of the car figures, what does a car salesman figure? He's trying to play, negotiate. So he tells me, no, I'll make it a little cheaper. Whatever, I'll give you 20 minutes to drive around. And Simcha told the student, this wasn't negotiation. We're leaving. And the guy's like chasing them down. No. We'll make it work. So the student's telling Reb Simcha. Reb Simcha's walking away. So the student writes over the story. He told Reb Simcha, I understand. I don't know what you were thinking or not thinking, but the guy's giving you whatever deal you thought you wanted, you got a much better deal. Let's hop a ride. So Reb Simcha said, this guy doesn't own the car. He stole the car also. So the student said, why do you think he stole the car? Because only a ganef thinks I'm a ganef. That's what he told him. And the student writes that about a year later, it got raided by the police. The whole thing was fencing, what they call fencing. So it could be to say like this. The spies are looking at Yeshua and they're saying, Yeshua, we don't trust you. You're no good. But you know why they didn't trust him? Because they were already no good. They didn't cop maybe themselves how bad they were, but they weren't so good themselves. So I don't know if we're going to have a recap. I forgot everything I said. We gave about 10 answers maybe. 10 answers on why, 7 only? You counting? It's only 7? No, it's more than 7 for sure. We have that he's a student. We have a student. There were 3 answers what could be why he's a student. Either make Moshe Rabbeinu look bad, either he's naive, or he's looking to take over. Then there was Eldad Amedad, which was here with 2 answers. Either he wants a suicide mission or wants to delay. Either we had, with Amalek, was 2 answers, but Amalek meant that either the other nations are going to see him, he's on the wanted list, or give Gvura to everybody else. And we have maybe the spies were going to try to kill him, as opposed to the bad land, because the spies are bad as well, but I think there might have been a couple others. Either way, Groy Shishkoyach.